Good evening and welcome to Town Square. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. As always, our conversations include you. If you'd like to join us anytime during the hour, the phone lines are open at 941-3689. If you're on Oahu, use that one, 941-3689. And from the neighbor islands, or if you're listening to the live stream, 877-941-3689 is the number to call. Now, just to refresh your memory, it was little over a year ago that the Hawaii Health Connector went live after a very rough start, as was the case with the federal site and many other states. There were technical problems, some anger over the poor showing of those who enrolled, and a lot of confusion. In early December, the Connector's executive director resigned. Leadership fell to an interim director during and after a legislative session in which lawmakers tried to come up with a plan to restructure the Connector and its board. There was also talk of changing its status to a government-run entity. That last part didn't happen. The Hawaii Health Connector remains a nonprofit, but Act 233, which became law last summer, created a legislative oversight committee. Among other things, it requires an annual audit of the Connector and changed the board procedures and composition. It also repealed a requirement for the Department of Human Services to determine someone's Medicaid eligibility to purchase a plan from the Connector, and Act 233 gave the Connector some cash. You might remember that last spring, HMSA pulled out of the small business side of the Connector. Also in May, Hawaii's insurance commissioner extended the grandmothered plans. Those are the ones that didn't comply with the Affordable Care Act, but that some people wanted to keep, through 2016 instead of ending last month. In October, the Connector hired a new executive director, and on November 15th, open enrollment began, and so did some additional issues with accessing plan information through the Connector's website. So it continues to be a twisted tale for the Hawaii Health Connector, and tonight on Town Square, we'll look at where it is now, how sustainable it is, and how doctors and hospitals like working with the care it covers. Joining me tonight is the man who has been at the helm of the Connector for the past 7 weeks. Jeff Kissel is here. He's the former president and CEO of Hawaii Gas. Two doctors also join us, Senator Dr. Josh Green, who is the head of Hawaii's Independent Physicians Association and chair of the Senate Health Committee, and Dr. Virginia Pressler, the executive vice president of Hawaii Pacific Health. And you too, if you'd like to join us. Again, our phone number is 941-3689. Or 877-941-3689. Thank you all for being here.
My pleasure.
I want to start with you, Jeff Kissel, because
Me would be Jeff Kissel, right?
Yeah, you are the man of if not exactly the hour, at least of the past several weeks, having inherited or chosen to do what you've done now and having to assess so much of what has come at the public in ways in which they have and haven't understood. Let's talk a little bit about where the Connector is right now and put it into some context. As of, I think, last summer, we were told that about 10,000 people, 11,000 people had signed up, but that was still far short of what was the projection to be able to keep it sustainable. Where are we now just with the numbers?
The Connector today is reaching over 1,000 people a day. It has since the 15th. They are accessing us through our website, through our call center, through our outreach programs, and through volunteer organizations throughout the state. We were open at 11 different locations on Saturday statewide, and we have scheduled events posted on our website. I'm pleased to say that we have come a long way since the dark days of 2013. The system, although not finished, is functioning a lot better. And I've got a couple of statistics to share with you, and I'll share some more as we go through the program. Compared to last year, we've handled over twice as many online inquiries. Our wait time on the telephone, once you make your selection, is about 20 seconds compared to minutes or longer. Last year, about half the people gave up waiting on the telephone when they were on hold. Now, our abandon rate, as they call it, is about 1.5%. So we've come a long way. We're by no means perfect, and we've got a long way to go. And I want to take this opportunity to say I'm really grateful to have had the privilege bestowed upon me to do some of this good work in the community. And I want to make sure that the Connector can reach out to everyone who wants to use its services to get access to affordable health care in our state that has one of the, in my opinion, the finest health care systems for the average citizen in the country.
So let's talk about some of those average citizens and trying to be able to reach out a little bit. We did. We went on the site today, and I had some of my staff play with it a little bit at different times. I did, too. And we all kept getting the same error message when we try to click through to be able to look at the plans, both the plans for small businesses and also the plans for individuals. Obviously, there's a bridge that moves from your site that takes you to other sites to be able to look at those plans. How is that going to be fixed, and will it be fixed sometime soon?
It is fixed now. We had a problem this morning, and I will tell you, we've had logged about 32 different issues with the system, and we addressed those rather promptly. We had that problem fixed by late morning. What happened, actually, was that the system became a little overloaded, and we had to reset certain components in the system. Again, this is our fifth day of operation. So we expect this kind of thing to occur. We're really sorry it does occur. And as we make improvements in the system, we believe it'll occur less and less.
We'll come back to you in just a second. I want to bring in Dr. Pressler and Senator Dr. Green, or is it Dr. Senator Green? I don't know whatever which one you prefer.
It is Josh for you, Beth Ann,
oh,
for sure.
Thanks so much. But as you have been going through this last year and watching people have to cope with getting insurance and then having to provide the care that that insurance would entitle them to, have you seen particularly keen issues with it that you didn't see before, especially you, Dr. Pressler, because being attached to one of the largest health providers in the state with Kapi'olani and Palomi and Wilcox and Straub and all the people attached to that, there might be a case for having seen a whole lot.
Yeah. Well, as the hospitals and the physicians, I think that it's really not much of an issue. What it is just another place for people to get their insurance coverage. And clearly, the people that have benefited the most, I think, in the state have been the individuals. People with who are getting their coverage through a small business already had very good access. So I think, you know, in my mind, the real beneficiaries of the Connector are the individuals who had a hard time getting insurance coverage at all in the past who now have access to coverage. The issues that we've seen have been some of the technical problems, so that when a patient does come into one of our facilities and getting the eligibility and those kinds of things verified has been a challenge, and hopefully those issues are being resolved. They really are just technical issues.
Any data about an increase in people who have been be able to use the services because they have health care that they were able to purchase through the Connector?
Well, we know statewide we have fewer uninsured, so we have hopefully more people that had no insurance who are now being covered by commercial insurance. Also, the biggest increase, my understanding, has been an increase in the Medicaid population. So, you know, whether it's Medicaid or whether it's commercial insurance, it's better for people to be insured than not to be insured, so we're supportive of that.
Josh Green, as you look at some of what you've heard from independent physicians, and that obviously is going to move us back in a way to the Medicare conversation too, but what are you hearing from the constituent of independent folks not necessarily attached to other hospitals or other healthcare providers?
Actually, they've had more of a different problem. I won't dwell on it. They've been a little bit more concerned about the switch in Medicaid enrollment and the open enrollment problem where people get bounced. And this is not a direct problem that with a Connector or anything. So that's what I'm hearing more. So I have not actually heard many vignettes about their patients not being able to see them because of a Connector flaw. I'm also in a slightly different space. I'm in the emergency department where you see anybody who comes through the door. So I haven't seen it as a major problem. What I would say is that our challenge has been unique in the state of Hawaii. We were already among the very best in uninsured rates. So to take that last step to go from 9 or 10% of uninsured and really push it down, always going those last couple percentage points are the most challenging. So in some ways, the deck was stacked against any mandate that included a Connector or what have you. So it just, I still want to get to know uninsured, and I think that that's Jeff's job, and that will be wonderful over time. But I haven't seen it as a crisis from independent doc to independent doc.
Tonight we're talking about the Hawaii Health Connector, if you're just joining us. And you've had some experience with a connector, either last year if you got a plan and you decided to keep it and you re-upped this year, or if you found that your plan wasn't there anymore and you needed a new one. What has been your experience with the connector? We want to hear from you. 941-3689, if you're on Oahu, that's the number to call, 941-3689. Or 877-941-3689. If you call us from the neighbor islands, we want to hear from you too. As you look at part of these discussions that have been surrounding the Hawaii Health Connector, and for a while it seems as if it's sort of gone off the radar a little bit. For a while everybody was focusing on it, and then summer and spring came and it began to winnow a little bit. But there was some specific news that came out of that. Specifically, one thing that we talked about in the opening, that HMSA pulled out of the shop side. How much did that hurt small businesses?
Well, I'm sorry to see that. You know, I just looked at the statistics. We had 35 small businesses enroll last year. We've had 22 the first 5 days of operation this week. So I believe that we're going to see an uptick in small businesses. You know, small businesses with fewer than 50 employees can qualify to get up to half their premiums reimbursed by the federal government as a tax credit. So we want to reach out. We want to find common ground with HMSA, HMAA, all the other fine institutions in this community that serve the medical and wellness needs of our citizens. And we want to bring them back. And we don't deserve to have them just because we're there. We need to earn the right to have them. And that's our philosophy. We want to show the connector and the community that it's a good place for people to be.
Now there's only Kaiser in there, is there not? Just Kaiser?
Kaiser is offering both conventional and traditional Kaiser plans in the shop site. HMSA, however, continues to offer individual plans, and we've had a number of employers have their employees sign up for individual plans as well as the Kaiser plan in the connector because HMSA plans are in demand.
So that was sort of a default position because they couldn't get them through the shop side.
That's correct. They don't pay any more. They just sign up on the individual side.
So that kind of workaround might be a good thing for those who really wanted the HMSA plans. But what about bringing in other competition? Having the two of them still there, has that opened up any doors for any other insurer to come in?
Well, it does open the door. I'm a little worried, actually, because without the connector, we have the federal marketplace. And in a few years, the law allows nationwide competition. That's a bit of a concern because I think HMSA, HMAA, Kaiser, these institutions have done a fabulous job for Hawaii, and they need to be given a chance to continue to do that good work.
Our number is 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. A topic we haven't talked about for a little while, the Hawaii Health Connector. The reason being, November 15th, it became a open enrollment time. It will go through the middle of February. We want to hear about your experience with it. We're hearing from Jeff Kissel, the new executive director of the Health Connector. Also, Dr. Virginia Pressler is here, the executive vice president of Hawaii Pacific Health. And Senator Dr. Josh Green is here. He has lots of titles tonight, specifically wearing his hat as the head of the Independent Physicians Association, as well as the Senate Committee on Health Chair. We want to hear from you, though, because the bottom line is, are you using this? If you don't have insurance through your employer, are you buying insurance through the connector? 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. If you're calling us from other than on Oahu, you can use the 877 number or on your cell phone. I think you can just go 808 and then 941-3689, and that gets you to us, too. Dr. Pressler, as you say that there aren't many problems that you hear from docs or hospitals with this, do you have any concerns about insurance companies dictating to docs or hospitals in terms of how much they will cover or what they will cover or what these plans are doing in terms of how they used to look? I mean, we hear very often that the gold plan, the silver plan, the bronze plan look very much like the plans now. Obviously, there's the platinum plan above all of those. But are there any concerns at all that all this is being so driven by the insurance companies that it may leave docs in a quandary how to treat a patient?
Yeah, well, actually, the essential health benefits that were selected in Hawaii were based upon the HMSA plan and meet the Prepaid Health Care Act requirements. So there really hasn't been any change in that regard. I think we're a little different here in Hawaii where we don't have a lot of high deductible plans. The prepaid protects us there. So at least those who are getting their coverage through their business can't have these high deductible plans, which are more and more is being pushed to the cost to the consumer on the mainland, but not here in Hawaii so much.
Which is keeping us in that very charmed space that we've been in for a very long time, which seems to be the point. Do we sometimes forget what a charmed space we've been living in for a while?
We do. We really have the most comprehensive insurance in the country. We also have 360,000 individuals on Medicaid that essentially get full service and full care, and we believe because that's the right thing to do, take care of people in Hawaii. So we have had that luxury to give people the best health care coverage. We're isolated. We're on our own over here. So we have to make sure that other influences didn't chip away at that. And I think that that's one thing people have to be mindful of, though I was just as critical as anyone about 2 years ago when we spent quite a lot of money and didn't get a lot of result. What people have to realize is had we opened the floodgates to massive change, number one, we could have jeopardized the Prepaid Health Act, which could have been catastrophic for the, you know, like I said, the 91% of the people in the state that are already covered. And two, if suddenly, yes, we had even just slightly cheaper plans, they might have provided one heck of a lot less coverage for our families, children, and so on. So,
yeah, we've always had fairly rich benefits in Hawaii, and I think that our excellent statewide health care statistics, many of us feel, is related to the fact that we've had a very low uninsured and very good coverage for individuals. When you start getting into these bronze plans, particularly more on the mainland than here, where you only have 60% covered, that's a 40% out-of-pocket for the individual is a huge expense and can be a major deterrent to getting the kind of care that somebody needs.
So how do you feel about some of the grandmothered plans that didn't meet the ACA requirements, but yet now people get to hang on to through 2016?
Well, I think it's a good thing. This is about access to health care. And the Affordable Care Act, together with Hawaii's Prepaid Health Care Act, have the opportunity for Hawaii to get access to coverage for a lot of people who have previously not gotten it. I want to talk about the cost of the connector and the cost of these services relative to the people we serve, because it's really important to draw the comparison. I believe that within a few years, we will be breaking even and throwing off a small surplus so that we can renew our facilities. But more importantly, if you think about it in terms of what the value of healthy and prosperous and long lives is worth to the community, it takes a whole different perspective on. You know, we're all glued to our television sets. When there are mountain rescues, ocean rescues, we spend millions of dollars to save one, two, three people. But yet we don't focus on the fact that the single mom who's got a part-time job may not, until the Affordable Care Act came along, may not have had access to good insurance. So that mom may have had to choose between getting prenatal care and paying the rent. And as a result, the kids may not have had the kind of health and wellness that they need in order to grow up as healthy and productive individuals. The dad who is holding down two part-time jobs in our industries here, who didn't have access to health care insurance, now can have it. They can have it subsidized up to 90%. So that
depending upon what their salaries are and what it is of the mean income.
So that dad can get a colon screen. That dad can live longer and survive to see his kids and grandkids grow up. And that dad doesn't die an early death unnoticed. You know, I have to draw the analogy to the ocean rescue and the quiet death that's anonymous. It's important that we reach everyone. We need to rescue the people at sea. We need to rescue the people who are living quietly as good, productive citizens and could live longer, healthier lives. And that's what the Affordable Care Act does. The connector is just one link in this important chain. And when you combine that with the benefits of the Hawaii Prepaid Health Care Act, you clearly have one of the best systems of health and wellness and treatment in the nation.
If you're just joining us, you're just listening to Jeff Kissel. He's the new head of the Hawaii Health Connector. We're going to take some of your calls now. I know they've been stacking up, so thank you all for your patience. Going now to Suzanne, calling us from Honolulu. Aloha. Welcome to Town Square.
Aloha. Thank you for having this show. You were looking for success stories, and I'm with the Honolulu Board of Realtors, and I think realtors are all independent contractors. And so without the Affordable Care Act and without the Health Connector, having access to group coverage didn't exist for them. There were issues with pre-existing conditions. And so back in March, we worked with the Connector to schedule an enrollment day, and we had over 50 realtors attend with a full staff of the Connector there, and our members were able to sign up on the spot. They went online with the Connector staff. Some of them even brought their spouses and everything. So it was a really successful program, and I would encourage others to contact the Connector to set up enrollment days. We'll be doing it again for our members.
Suzanne, did you do it last year? Did you do this last year?
We actually did it in March. We had been reaching out to our members, and it was near the end of the original enrollment.
So compare that with what happened this time. Last time, what kind of response did you get, and what kind of reaction did you get to the Connector when they tried to enroll?
We did have members initially who were having a hard time back in the November-December time period last year, and that's why, as we heard from our members, who weren't able to sign up, we scheduled as an organization the enrollment day, and we must have had a team of six Connector staff set up with computers, and that was what our members needed. They needed to know that the staff was going to be there, and they came in, they waited for their appointments, and they walked out with plans set up for them, and they were really, really pleased.
Well, you certainly made Jeff Kissel's day. Thanks very much for the call.
You did indeed, Suzanne. Where do I sign up to list my house with you?
You can check with the realtor.
I'd like to go back to the small business, the shop program, Jeff, because I know that we've had very few small businesses sign up through the Connector, as I said. I think the real benefit in Hawaii has been the individual market here. And what I've been reading lately is even on the mainland, there have been very few small businesses signing up through Connectors all across the country. So there must be something intrinsic there about the complexities of getting that tax credit and whether it's actually worth it. The government accounting office just this week was saying that they attributed the low sign up across the country to the complexities of getting that tax credit back.
Which seems to put it into a different context in Hawaii. If you've had, 22 businesses sign up in the first 5 days?
Yes. Now, we're early into the second year of the Affordable Care Act. So I think it's a little soon to try and analyze the statistics and draw a lot of conclusions. But I know that the systems have been tuned up to help deliver the data for tax credits a lot better this year than last. I think we'll just have to wait and see how that turns out. But to get half your money back is a pretty good deal when you still have to comply with the law in Hawaii and provide the coverage for your employees.
All right, we'll take a few more calls, and we know you've been waiting. If you'd like to join the conversation and you have a question about the Hawaii Health Connector, tonight might be a good time to ask. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Going to Joanne, calling us from Oahu.
Yes, hi, thank you. I am calling because I fall into a gap group, which is I'm in my low 60s, age 60, so I don't qualify for Medicare yet. And I make about $80,000 a year. I don't want to pay a $7,000 deductible in order to get medical insurance. And my cost would be about $700 a month to pay for insurance. And just on principle, I really don't think that's fair. To be older and making a certain amount of money and to have to pay $700 in order to avoid a high deductible. You had mentioned it's important to reach everyone. It's important to rescue people at sea. It's important to live long and healthy lives. But when you're older and you're not in the poverty level or the level that allows for tax credit, it's the Unaffordable Care Act.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, John. looking at the table, which the insurance commissioner put out in May, so anybody can take a look and see what those weighted tables are by age, she's just in that group where it's costing her between $700 and $800 a month, or would, because she's in her early 60s. How is this fair for older people?
I am an older people. I'm 64, and my premium and my wife's, my wife's a little bit younger than me, 10 years, our premiums are $1,500 a month. We fall into a category of income that the Affordable Care Act doesn't really take care of.
Just and like Joanne.
That is, yeah, that is the unfortunate situation that we all find ourselves in, where the provisions of the federal act were written so that instead of your health and well-being being a measure of your insurability and your premium,
it's strictly
age and tobacco use.
And this is something that, I remember, Josh Green, we had a big discussion about 18 months or so ago when, you know, people were saying ostensibly the same thing that Joanne just said. How can this be construed as affordable?
Well, there, for some people, it's still not. And I empathize with Joanne. I think that basically the American people got screwed over when they didn't allow for a public option for some individuals. I think that, you know, there were so many really vested interests that created the bill to deviate from some of the things that would have helped. Like you mentioned earlier, there are some great things, and Ginny mentioned earlier, to not have to deal with pre-existing conditions eliminating you. That is good for Joanne or for myself or for Jeff or anybody. But there is still a space in the country where it's too expensive, and because the Affordable Care Act, this was at the federal level, didn't really go that extra mile to give extra options for people, I think it did let some people down. Healthcare is expensive. That amounts to about 10% of the caller's income, and that's very, very challenging. It is better than having no insurance, I believe, because if one heart attack occurs or a car accident or, God forbid, a cancer of some sort, you will go bankrupt without health insurance. But I hear her point. I wish that she would have been able to opt in for some other options. But unfortunately, I don't think it's anyone at this table's prerogative to make that call.
As we look at older workers, too, you know, one of the things we've been told for the past umpteen years is that we have a worker shortage, particularly people who have highly skilled professions, that they're going to need to stay in those jobs longer. And if you're in Hawaii, that means that your employer is going to be paying part, if not all, of your premium. And that means that it's going to continue to escalate every year because everyone's going to get a year older.
And as Josh said, I mean, healthcare is expensive, and that is the fundamental problem. And the Affordable Care Act is providing support for those up to 400% of federal poverty. But, it's not providing coverage, support and subsidies for everybody. So we still have to address the underlying fundamental problems behind our rising healthcare costs. And, one of the things that I'm concerned about with the connector and all the infrastructure is the added cost onto the base of our already escalating healthcare costs. And how can we, in fact, eliminate that extra cost? Because we're, as the caller just mentioned, I mean, we already have unaffordable healthcare for many people.
Well, we're working to keep our costs down. More importantly, we're working to return money to the community. The tax benefits over the next 10 years to Hawaii could approach about $500 billion. The recent Supreme Court ruling with respect to people who are legal residents here but from outside the U.S. provides the opportunity for coverage. I think DHS did a great service to this community. They're really dedicated people there. And they came up with a way where we can bring those people into the connector and into the federally subsidized system and get over 90% of the premiums paid by the federal government. Now, there are about 7,000 in Hawaii. Dr. Presser, what is kind of the average medical expense for somebody kind of in that category?
I don't know.
Pick a number, $2,500, $3,500, somewhere in that vicinity. I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
No,
but
you're talking about in terms of premium?
In terms of the average medical use that you'd have
I could tell you that. I mean, the average per member per month cost is somewhere in the $350 per member per month range, which is about, this is for my IPA, which is about $4,000 per person. Now, it varies very widely, of course, if someone's got a big illness or if they, you know, if they're much older with 5, 6, 7 diseases that they're dealing with. But the average across the board is probably about $4,000.
So that's between $25 and $30 million a year that the federal government is absorbing in cost that the state, the community in Hawaii, would not have to absorb. And the connector is not running a deficit anywhere near that and is very unlikely to do that. So there are benefits that we're bringing in that are not related to our direct cost and the direct cost of the premium. And we've done a relatively poor job of getting that story out. And you know, the economic benefits of people living longer and being more productive are interesting. The opportunity to live longer is vital. But the cost coverage, I think, and the benefits to attract the federal dollars to the state of Hawaii are substantial.
It also looks as if we are having to change the way we regard the return on all of this, because it's not necessarily just getting personal coverage, but you're asking us to look at the larger picture for somebody like Joanne or anybody who may be in the, you know, the 55 up group still working. That's still a really tough trade-off. Is that going to be a tougher sell?
I think that the Affordable Care Act, like many of the federal programs, Medicare, any of them, is going to change over time, as it should. Public debate and public discourse, just like we're having today, will move it in a direction that I think is better for all of us. But I think we need to give it a little bit of time to settle in and see what the effects are on our overall national economy. I know the benefits to Hawaii are quite substantial relative to our size.
Are you concerned about what the next Congress will do?
I'm certainly concerned about what the next Congress will do, the next administration. And that's why we're going to be talking to our representatives, our delegation, who are our supporters in general of the connector, and specifically Senator Hirano's office has been very helpful toward the furthering the interests of the connector in Congress.
Tonight we're talking about, you guessed it, yes, the Hawaii Health Connector, and we want to hear from you. You know, a lot of you just got into your cars, turned on the radio, and found us talking. Now it's your turn. 941-3689 is our number if you're on Oahu and from the neighbor islands, or if you're listening to the live stream and you have an interest in asking a question, you can. 877-941-3689. Going to Roy, calling us from Oahu. Aloha, Roy, and thank you for your patience. Roy, you're there? Did we lose Roy? I guess we did. I guess he can't hear us.
Less patient than you thought.
Well, maybe not, or maybe it could be just an issue with the phone lines, because I'm seeing our engineer over there trying to find it. Anyway, if you would like to join the conversation, we do want to hear from you. Maybe this has been off your radar for a little while. It's been a while since the session we were talking about it in terms of how it would be retooled, what it would look like if it were restructured, and then what came out of session and what happened as we move from the latter part of spring and into summer. 941-3689-877-941-3689. Looking tonight at what is the status of the health connector now and what does its future look like. Joining me this evening, we have the new head, reasonably new, 7 weeks into his position, Jeff Kissel, now head of the Hawaii Health Connector. Also, Dr. Virginia Pressler. She is the executive vice president of Hawaii Pacific Health. It's a nonprofit network of hospitals, clinics, and healthcare providers, which includes Kapi'olani and Palimomi and Straub and Wilcox. And also here is Senator Dr. Josh Green, who is wearing his head of the Independent Physicians Association hat, as well as the chair of the Health Committee, the Senate Health Committee here too. And you, because ultimately, if you don't have insurance, you're the market that the Health Connector is going after. And if you have a small business and now you see your choices looking a little different than you thought they were going to be maybe 6, 8 months ago, we want to hear from you, too, to find out how you are covering your employees. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Josh, you were going to ask a question.
Well, I think that one thing that is clear is that this is a gigantic, and it's a well-intentioned but I want to be candid, a national experiment into getting more people coverage. What we're doing with the 45 to 50 million people across the country that couldn't get health care coverage. Some of the things were very good right out of the gate. Other challenges abound. And it was I was very interested to hear what Jeff was saying. He was raising the specter of the greater good, which is very important to be mindful, because when we had, and we still do have this problem, we had many, many millions of uninsured across the country, all Americans were paying for it anyway. When we had to pay for someone who was totally uninsured and went to the hospital, we have less of that now.
We just didn't realize that we were doing it.
Right. And so now the spotlight shifts to systems that were in their first year. And, like, I wouldn't buy a car in its first year model personally, right? Or even the iPhone in its first year model. And a lot of people in the second year and third year get more comfortable, and some of the bugs come out of the system. But I still think when we look at it a couple years from now, we're going to know as Americans, is it better to go down a road like this with a lot of different state options and models where the states can make choices? Or are we going to pivot now and say it would be better to centralize in a federal way for the uninsured? We're going to learn one heck of a lot as a country. I still will say I take to heart that woman's concern, because for her to pay 2 or 3% more means 25 or 30 bucks more a month, which she might not have, which is 300 bucks more a year. And a lot of working middle class people already couldn't afford health insurance. So there's no consolation when they hear that we are, quote, experimenting with the healthcare system. But for our next generation, for my children and your children, I hope that America realizes that we have to get to a totally better healthcare system where everyone can get coverage. I hope that's what we learn from this process.
And to understand that we're not there yet.
We're not there. And it's going to take a lot of evolution of these programs and a lot of debugging to really make it work.
All right, we're going to go off now to the Big Island and hear what Sue has to say. Aloha, Sue. Welcome to Town Square.
Hi. Yeah, this is Sue Cross. I live in Papaico near Hilo.
Hi there.
Well, I just listened to the woman that makes $80,000 a year, and I thought, well, wait a minute, maybe I better call in. I live on $33,000 a year, and I pay $679 a month right now for my health care, but it's because last year I was foolish enough to not switch to the Hawaiian Health Connector. So I am trying this year to change over, because mine is going up. It's going to be $8,400 next year for my coverage with United Health Doesn't Care, and they charge me co-pays. That's what they call them, up to $150.
So why didn't you switch?
I'm trying to get through this system, and I've been real frustrated. Since Saturday, I've sent emails and not gotten responses. I've called, and I get all these different push this, push that, and then I get all these names, and I don't know who the heck I'm supposed to connect with, to talk to try to get any help. I have Lyme disease, sorry. I was forced into early retirement from special ed teaching because of it, and my brain isn't always walk a straight line. And so I need help to make sure I'm doing this right so I can please get some help from this system.
Sue, a question for you. You say that you were foolish not to do it last year. Did you even think about doing it last year?
I did. And matter of fact, when I tried to sign in this year to start it, they said I needed to know my password and everything. And I'm like, oh, crap, because I checked into it and it said I qualified, but my brain wasn't working, and I thought, but I go to Arizona still twice a year to see this doctor that knows what Lyme is, right? But he hasn't really helped me.
Okay, well, that part we can't deal with, but the fact that this year you are making what you said you're making and you're paying, what did you say, $679 a month, as a proportion of, should she be paying this much?
No, and Sue, we're here to help you. There are numbers on our website you can call, but let me give you my direct line, please. Have you got a pencil?
Sue, are you there?
Yes, and I have a pen ready.
Okay.
It's 674-7390. And if you'll call
What was it,
674-7390.
Oh, 73, I missed somehow. 90. Okay.
Right. And if you will call me during the day tomorrow, I will make sure that we help you through the process, because we have a couple of hundred people at the ready to help. And I apologize if you've had difficulty getting through to us. We've had maybe a dozen people who have let me know that they've had a problem getting through. And every one of them has had a return call from me. So, you know, I take this responsibility very, very seriously. This is access to health care. And if you need help, you call me. If you prefer, you can certainly call our 800 number that we have on our website.
I think she'd rather call you because she's already tried to call some other numbers.
There's no problem at all reaching through to me. And if I'm busy, leave a message. I will absolutely call you back.
All right, Sue, we hope that helps. Tonight on Town Square, we're talking about the Hawaii Health Connector. As you probably know, open enrollment started on the 15th of November. We'll run through the middle of February. The question is, are you going to avail yourself of that opportunity? And that would be, of course, for people who don't find that they get their insurance from their employers. If you don't and you're looking for a plan, or if you're a small business and you're looking for options now, are you looking at the Hawaii Health Connector? We want to hear from you, 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. If you call us from the neighbor islands, use that latter number, and that will get you to us very quickly. When you look at the Health Connector now, and obviously you're hearing from people who are saying, this is a lot of money. I'm not sure that I have maybe all the choices that I would like to have. This thing may be weighted toward older people having to bear much more of a cost than youngers. Isn't this in some way reversing the process of what we talked about originally a couple years ago, of the idea that we were going to have a lot of people come in at the younger level and somehow that would greatly subsidize the people who are at the other end of the spectrum?
Well, we do have a lot of people coming in who are younger into the insurance system nationwide. Hawaii, fortunately, has a young workforce, and we have the Hawaii Prepaid Health Care Act. So many of our young people are insured, and that's the key to it. Are you insured? And the answer is yes. So the cost is being spread over the whole population. The federal requirement has raised the cost at the top end. But remember, anybody who is qualified for a subsidy can get some or almost all of their premiums covered by the federal government.
So take the woman we just talked to who said that she makes $33,000 a year and she's paying $679 monthly.
She's buying commercial insurance. She has not applied for a subsidy.
No, I know that, but no. I'm saying, so give her a for instance of what you think might be a fair situation to look at as a comparison.
I can't tell you in a specific case because there has to be a determination made with the federal government. Part of the complexity of the computer system that we're struggling with requires us to kind of check with the IRS, check with Social Security, check with Department of Human Services before we can calculate the subsidy. That's the clunkiness of the act now that Dr. Green was commenting we need to work on. We need to make it better.
But she should pay, since I'm not in the system, I can say, because I don't want him to be held accountable for the answer, but she'll pay less. And I think that when the individual who's making $32,000 or $34,000 a year does get the subsidies, she'll pay substantially less, I believe, because 25% or some odd of her total earnings is just, it's not
too much to be going to healthcare.
Exactly. And so she, unless there's some circumstance that we didn't hear from her in that brief phone call, she will get very significant breaks. And that's the idea nationally. We all pay a part, but we include everybody, including the young people who have very little healthcare costs right now. That's the hope. But there are, as it's been pointed out by two very good callers tonight, there are still some people that fall into the middle zones, which don't get helped as much as we would like. As we debug the whole system, I'm hopeful that there are fewer and fewer examples of people falling through the cracks. But I was pleased to hear that people are getting personal attention. I hope that anyone who wants to go to the connector avails themselves of that service.
All right, we've got lots of callers now. We'll go back to the line. Sorry for whatever happened before where we lost a couple of you. Lance calling us from Kapolei. Aloha, Lance. Welcome to Town Square.
Aloha. Yeah, I'm a small business owner, and both of us, unfortunately, are in our late 50s, and I'm using Kaiser right now as my medical, but we're paying $15,000 a year for two people on insurance. And before that, I couldn't be covered. I had to start a business to get covered after I was unemployed by a government office. And I was wondering if I change over from Kaiser commercial to ACA Kaiser, do you think I'm going to get charged more or less? Do you think it's a benefit for me? Because I am going to, did already start the process yesterday of checking to see how much it was going to cost us. And I also was worried about, am I going to lose the current Kaiser benefits that I have now when I go to using the Health Connector?
Well, let me answer the question in two parts. With a phone call to us, we can give you a very good idea of whether or not you will qualify for a tax subsidy and whether you might be better as an individual qualifying for that tax subsidy than as a business, because the business tax subsidy goes only for 2 years. The individual subsidy under the Affordable Care Act goes on for as long as you maintain the income status and qualify. But if you call us, we'll tell you exactly. As far as benefits are concerned, with respect to Kaiser, we've got to look at the plan you're in, of course. But generally speaking, you'll get the same benefits without an interruption in your coverage.
There's your answer, Lance. Did you have any problem when you tried to call in? When you went online and you tried to work with the site?
No, I just started it, and it says 48 hours, and I immediately got an email response. So I was...
So you're one of the success stories. Okay, good. Thanks so much for the call. Going now to Kay, calling us from Honolulu. Aloha, Kay.
Aloha. Thank you for revisiting this topic and for all the folks who've gathered together to answer our questions. I also am sort of a success story. Last year, after diligently pursuing enrollment for weeks and months that went on, I was confirmed on December 24th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so I could have my coverage start in January. First question I have is the enrollment period, Beth Ann, you said goes to February 15th. It's my understanding that it was only from November to December 15th.
No, it was rolled over to, my understanding is that it goes to
February is where it ends.
Okay, that's good to know.
Now, what it means, though, is unless you enroll by the 15th of the month, you're not going to get coverage the first of the following month.
Okay, thank you for clarifying. So I've initiated my re-enrollment, and I've had to make two calls about that because the first call, the lady was having a lot of problems with her computer and finally said, well, my computer is very slow, and now it's stuck, and so please call back. Okay, so I took some deep breaths, and the next day I called, and I spoke to a young man, and both of these people are brand new to the system. It seems like maybe there's been a lot of new folks in the call centers. And so I had a dramatic change in my income. And so although I was able to enjoy the tax subsidy from last year with my Kaiser plan for this individual plan, now with a dramatic change in my decrease in my income, I'm concerned in terms of my eligibility as well as the ramifications. And when the second person I spoke to was unable to explain any of that to me and said that I would get a phone call in a week.
Did you get the phone call?
No.
Well, I apologize. Did you get my number?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay, please call me tomorrow.
I think you're going to get another phone call tomorrow, too, Jeff.
Listen, this is what it's about. To address your issue of new people, last year we had about 50 people in our call center. Today we have over 200. So we are having some training issues, and nothing is perfect, but it's, as you can hear from the general tone of the callers, it's a lot better. This is not about a technology. This is about a customer experience, and we're doing our best to improve that every single day.
Are people still doing what they were doing a while ago, which is to call the Kalea number and trying to go through that to be able to get information about the connector and not reaching you directly?
They are sometimes. The Kalea number is the Medicaid number, and they have different business hours, and they sometimes don't know much about us. We've tried to change our website to be clearer about the numbers to call, and we're changing our literature and our advertising so that people know the difference. But I clearly this lady got through to us, and for some reason she hasn't heard back.
What have you heard from those whose plans were changed or who somehow got dropped and got one of those letters in October?
Well, again, if they call us, we generally speaking can rectify the situation right away. For renewals, for an example, the federal regulations actually changed between last year and this year. Income levels, all kinds of things have changed in people's lives. So it's oftentimes necessary for them to talk to us and go through the renewal process with one of our helpers.
I want to talk to you a little bit before we have to say goodbye about Medicaid, because we never got a chance to really talk about that more fully. We've talked about the issues that docs aren't seeing Medicaid patients at the rate at which you have said that you'd like them to see them.
Yes.
They have real difficulty getting them because the docs are saying they're not getting reimbursed at a level that they feel makes sense. All of those issues about it, and yet we are seeing dramatic changes in the roles of Medicaid, many of them who are shifting over and who are getting, you know, Affordable Care Act plans, and looking at what that means in terms of, you know, shifting this section of the pie over here, are we really doing anything to our benefit?
Well, from the COFA question, the answer is, yeah, it's better for the state, because the Micronesian population and those who came in and we weren't getting any adequate monies from the federal government was hurting a lot of different communities.
That's the Compact of Free Association. I know we all speak
in. Yes, the Compact of Free Association individuals. For instance, when I was the doctor down in Nalehu on the Big Island for many years, took care of a lot of people at a health center. But if we didn't have a health center, there would have been no one to take care of those individuals because the insurance was just inadequate and the coverage and the resources, it wouldn't work. So we are trying as a state to take better care of individuals. But we do have to have better reimbursements or a better system with Medicaid because we now have about a third of our insured individuals in the state, about a third, have Quest or Medicaid. And there are many providers who simply can't make it work in their business model, and therefore they just see the other two-thirds of our state. And that remains an inequity and a actual care problem. So even though we're discussing today the benefits of getting everyone insured, which I completely support, we still won't solve all of the problems. And that is, we need, from my perspective, my IPA members tend to step up very well, but all physicians need to take some patients in their practice that are Medicaid, which makes it possible for everyone to have a practice that survives. And I know Ginny's hospitals endeavor to do that, and I'll let her comment, but that is a big picture item.
Yes. Well, at Hawaii Pacific Health, of course, we take all patients regardless of their ability to pay. But Medicaid does not pay adequately, and that's part of the reason we've had hospitals failing in the last few years, and that's going to continue to happen. And I feel very strongly that the government should pay its fair share. I don't understand why we get paid less for a Medicaid patient than
anybody else.
Because it just means that the commercial payers, the people that have commercial insurance, pay a higher premium to make up for that lack of coverage from the government.
Okay, we're going to have a whole other show, I promise, about Medicaid sometime soon. Right now, we're going to take a call from Joe calling us from the Big Island. Aloha, Joe. I'm going to ask you to be brief because we're coming down to the end of the hour.
Okay, well, I'm having trouble hearing you, but
we're hearing you just fine. We can.
Okay, well, my question has to do with the bigger picture here, and that is that we have a failing health provision system that is very obvious in any emergency room. I have a little anecdote from a patient who went to New Zealand, and the doctor treated her husband with sinusitis. He said, if I was in the States, I'd send you for a CAT scan, but you can't sue me here, so here's your antibiotics. Go enjoy your honeymoon. It was cost-effective health care in which he was allowed to use clinical judgment because he wasn't afraid to be sued. Now, I know Josh has addressed it or tried to address this issue, but really we have a resurrected Heritage Foundation Republican plan being trotted out and endorsed by liberal Democrats as the best thing we can do when no one really has addressed the final solution, which would be single health care payer, which would reduce the top 30-plus percent of the expenses right off the top. And if we then address the litigious situation with health care, we would resolve our health care problems.
All right, Joe. I don't think maybe he's going to get a whole lot of argument from you.
I like Joe. Some of the simplicity that Joe describes, I think, makes a lot of sense. It's not necessarily, as he pointed out, the topic of today's show, and it's a challenge in our country. But, Joe, let me just address you directly. I think that what we're going through right now is we're teasing out whether or not this system is going to be able to survive versus the other systems. And we'll do our best with this one. But, you know, I work in the ER where we have no CT scan, and my cost per patient is way lower. And I hope that I'm delivering good care. And I think we all have to do what we can in a simple, straightforward way for our patients. I think it's in their interest.
We're coming down to almost the end of the hour, and I want to be able to give you the last word, Jeff Kissel. As you're looking toward the end of this year, coming into next year, which will still be part of the open enrollment time and certainly the beginning of the next legislative session, what's on your agenda?
Our agenda is first to serve the people during open enrollment as best as we can.
But do you have target numbers that you'd like to see?
No, we don't. We want to serve everybody who needs us. What we want to do, though, is we want to demonstrate our value in the community so that we can continue to grow and complement Hawaii's outstanding health care system. We are very, very grateful to be operating in an environment where we have Hawaii Pacific, where we have Queens, where we have hundreds of other providers who are giving top-quality medical care to people who we believe now will be able to afford it. And we're hoping that the money that comes into the system as a result of more and more people being able to afford the care through their insurance will allow us as a state, as a community, to give even better health care to our people and live longer.
And very simply, though, with the changes in the board and the way the structure is happening, do you look for any more tweaking of that as we're coming into next year?
We have a really good board. They're very supportive. They're very communicative. And if you attend our board meetings, which are open to the public, you see that we're talking about our strengths and our weaknesses and our challenges because we want to earn our place in this community.
All right. I want to thank you both, or actually all of you, for being here tonight. Jeff Kissel, the new head of the Hawaii Health Connector, Dr. Virginia Pressler, who is the Executive Vice President of Hawaii Pacific Health. And thanks very much to you, too, Josh Green, for being here with us to talk about this. We will have another conversations where we look only at Medicaid. I know we've had some inquiries about that. And sometimes as one of these issues leads into another issue, leads into another, it's really tough to handle that in an hour, as we all know. But we will take this apart and try to deconstruct it a little bit and talk specifically more about Medicaid in the coming weeks. Until then, if you have a suggestion for a Town Square conversation that you think we really need to have, I want to hear from you. And you can give me a call at the station, which you probably know by now is 955-8821. Or you can email me at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. Or if you're on Twitter, you can find me at BKOZHPR. Any way you want to get in touch, we'd like to hear from you and hear what you'd like to hear us talk about next time. In the meantime, have yourselves a good evening. I'll be back here with you tomorrow morning for the conversation right here at 8 o'clock. Be well. Have a good evening. Aloha.